Please be seated and let's open again our Bibles to the stories that tell us how powerful the name of Jesus is. And we're going to look at Mark 6 today, what David read for us, and we're going to start in verse 30. And I want to show a picture, and we're going to just make some observations here about what do you see, okay? So let's go to my picture. Michelle, you see Mother Teresa, that's right. What else do you see in that picture as you look at her? Would you say, Bob Ann? She's old. Yeah, she's old. What else do you see? You see compassion? Yeah, she's caring for someone there. What else do you see? Giving nourishment to somebody? Yeah, it looks like there is a man there in desperation. Not sure why, but man in desperation. What else? What? A number, yeah. I don't know if it's like the number on a cell or a room, but makes me think that sometimes maybe people feel like just a number.
She's
yeah.
Alone,
she's alone, one-on-one, yeah. An old woman, wrinkles on her face. If you look close, you can see her hands look like hands that have aged. And I think if she came in here today and she was just dressed like one of us, it'd be easy to imagine or make up in our mind there is a weak, frail person who, because of how we treat things in our society, might not have much influence or much power, but we know that Mother Teresa had a lot of influence and power, didn't she? And it all arose out of this extreme commitment, first to Jesus, and out of that to care for people. And this morning, if you're taking notes, I want to just say this right up front, that care displays power. It's counterintuitive to our culture, isn't it? And I'm not talking about the power of the world. Care displays the power of Jesus. I was thinking that in our church, if I could catch you off guard and say, where have you seen God's power show up in church? We might think about things where we've said, wow, we saw a huge building created. Or maybe when somebody preached a sermon, the upfront kind of person. And this morning, I actually want to speak to a very specific group of people in our body. The people that, in some very formal ways and some informal that I might not have even caught you as we were doing some inviting for today, that care for people at our church. I have a slide here of about 140 names. These are names of people that care for folks in our church in different ways. You'll see in your pew in front of you, I want you to just grab this. This is not all, because somebody's going to come up to me and say, you missed this. I know we missed it. Blame it on Brant and Dave, okay? They created this for me. Now, after they did all that work, I threw them under the bus. Sorry, guys. I don't care very much. These names represent people in our visitation ministry, our prayer ministry, our Stephen ministry, our re-engage ministry, our recovery for life, our Northwest Cares, pause to care, caregivers, support groups, widows, counselors, bereavement team, seven pillars, betrayal and beyond, sex addiction groups, senior adults, missionary care, trauma healing, and more. Okay, got it? I want you to raise your hand if you're somebody here who is part of these care teams at our church. Would you just raise your hand? I'm curious how many are in the service. Raise them really, really high, really, really high so people can look around. And I want to say to you that I actually want to speak to you today. And I want to affirm you. And I also want to encourage you in a very specific way. I want to affirm you that care actually displays the power of Jesus. You know, this whole passage starts in this way, that in verse 33, all these people, just the average people of the day, are recognizing Jesus and his disciples. And so they run together with Jesus. And when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You might underline that if you have one of our Bibles we've been handing out and you're underlining things like sheep without a shepherd. And I want to remind us, what's our favorite psalm? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And we love to preach that at memorial services, and I do. But I just want to remind us, that is not a very flattering image to be called a sheep, okay? When God calls you a sheep, he's saying to you, you're amazingly incapable to take care of yourself. Welcome to Northwest Bible Church. God said it, I didn't say it, right? Because sheep are this one animal that they just cannot live on their own. And here's what we've said, church. We all need more help than we think we do. We all need more help than we think we do. Do I not get some amens there this morning? Okay. We all need more help than we think we do. And here comes Jesus, and it says he had compassion. Care displays the power of Jesus. We've talked about this before, that the word compassion is perhaps the number one word used to describe Jesus' emotional life in the Gospels. It is from the Greek word splagnizomai. You notice how I tried to throw it up there in the snot locker? Because that has a guttural sound, but if you're a doctor, you actually know this word. My doctor friends have told me. And it's a word that means deep in your gut. And it's the word that describes Jesus as he's going about and he sees a blind man in Mark chapter 10 and he stops because he has splagnizomai. And it's the word when Matthew is telling the story of Jesus hanging out with the people nobody wanted to hang out with. Because for sure, those people were too much. We talked about being too much. At Easter, they were the sinners. And Jesus says, I am here because I have compassion. And it's the word in Luke where we are talking about the prodigal son, this good Samaritan trying to show the heart of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the motivation is God's compassion. Okay? And so those of you who are part of our care ministry this morning, I want you to hear this. That just as much as anything else that happens in the church, care displays power. The power of Jesus. And perhaps you are no more like God. Perhaps you are no more like Jesus than when you're caring for people. Okay? I want to tell you a story that happened. This Friday, I've been thinking about this person because I invited them to church here today. I don't know if they're here or not. You guys, some of you are scratching your heads because I'm going to go ride my bike across the country and you think it's really weird. And I just want you to know, I think it's weird too. We have a little slide today about this. If you want to, follow me and pray for me every day. There's where, how you can follow it on social media. When I, over a year ago, I went to the bank to set up this little account for this. And I met a banker there and I got to do what I just want to do on this trip. I just got to talk to him about Jesus. We made a little video that I'm hoping we're going to get make videos like this. About 3 months ago, that banker, I'd given him my cell phone number because I'm always giving it out when I shouldn't give it out, and people have to talk to me about it. And anyway, I hear this guy crying on the telephone. And I didn't find out till a month later actually who it was, because I couldn't understand it. It was the banker, and his 7-year-old son has cancer. And so I go in there last Friday, and right in the middle of the bank, we're just having the conversation about Jesus and about God's healing and God's care. And you know, y'all, I hadn't even thought about this in the context of this sermon. I said, as I heard about him and his wife and his son, I said, you know, I wish you would come to our church, because I know there are men and women who would care for you and know how to care. Because I really do believe that care displays the power of Jesus. And it's really an awesome privilege to be looking out at the faces of people here this morning that care, to be able to talk about this. And I want you to know that even in that moment, as the whole bank is seeing something going on, I'm aware that even for me, the thing feels a little overwhelming. And I want you to see something, caregivers here, because I know you've been in this place. I want you to watch what Jesus does here. It says in verse 35 that when it grew late, the disciples come to Jesus and they start giving Jesus some direction, because Jesus needs direction from us, doesn't he, y'all? And we're kind of good at this. Jesus, do you understand what's going on right now? You may have created the world, but you need me to help you keep it spinning, right? And so they come to Jesus and they said, Jesus, in case you didn't notice, this is a wilderness, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send these people away into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. And I can imagine them standing there looking at Jesus, going, okay, you ready to do what we say? And Jesus says to them, you give them something to eat. Now, we already heard that how many men were present that day? Do you remember? 5,000. The counting system of the day counted the men. So we can imagine there's women and children also. I don't know, 10,000, 15,000, 20,000. I like to exaggerate, so I'll go on the high end and say 15,000, okay? So we're talking maybe 15,000 people. Jesus says you give them something to eat. It feels like too much, doesn't it? And I think Jesus is going to push them to feel the whole weight of the too much, okay? He answers them, you give them something to eat, and they say, shall we go to In-N-Out Burger? $6 a piece, $90,000, and give them something to eat. Now remember, these are people who they themselves are living hand to mouth because they're following Jesus around, and Jesus is like, we're just gonna trust God for our daily bread here, right? They do not have a bank account, and they do not have a credit card which they can overdraw on. Thank the Lord. Okay, and so Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And then he says to them, how many loaves do you have? How many loaves do you have? And they say, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. So let's do the math, okay? 15,000 people, 5 loaves, 5 over 15,000 is 1/3,000, okay? So everybody's gonna get 1/3,000th worth of a piece of bread. Are we clear that the disciples in and of themselves are inadequate to care for this group of people? Amen? I wonder if we are clear that we are inadequate in and of ourselves to care for the needs of the people and the world around us that feels like too much. Are we? You know, I get the disciples here. Okay, Jesus, let's get a plan together. Let's send them away. No, you give them something to eat. Okay, Jesus, let's get a plan together. We're going to call In-N-Out Burger, but we're going to have to come up with $90,000 somewhere. And church, I want to remind us that we all know the world and its needs are too much. And what I want to say to our caregivers this morning is that care not only displays the power of Jesus, that care requires the power of Jesus, okay? Care not only displays the power of Jesus, care requires the power of Jesus. And church, I'm going to tell you, I believe this opens up the door for the church to speak into the world in a way that no one else can. I believe this gives some freedom for those of you who don't have all the answers to speak into people's lives in a way that the world cannot. Because like the disciples, here's going to be the tendency. It's going to be either to control the situation, send them away. And sometimes our control looks like really good efforts, like, here's a book to read. I'm going to give you another book to read, or I'm going to read another book to figure out what we do here. And you know what? We need to do that. Somebody says, Neil, I have some needs. Okay, immediate. Let me see what counselor I can direct you to, and we need that. Or I say, you know what? Maybe you need to whatever our quick solutions are, and I want to affirm those things, but I want to say, church, that we are actually holders of the supernatural power of Jesus, and I want to tell you a secret. Jesus generously and gladly extends his power to followers who care for a world of too much. Do you believe that? Jesus generously and gladly extends his power to his followers who care in a world of too much. Let me show you why I say that right here. Let's go to it. So Jesus commanded everybody to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by 50s. There's a lot of groups here. There's 15,000, right? And they sit down and they take the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He looked to heaven, said a blessing, broke the loaves, and then he became like the Incredibles. Have y'all watched the Incredibles? You know, they're these little cartoon characters and one of the persons stretches. One guy's really strong. And there's this little kid, his name is, y'all know who the little boy's name is? Dash. And what is Dash's superpower? He's really fast. And so Jesus just does the Dash thing. Really fast, he whips around to every group. It's like you're seeing his kind of shadow, and he feeds everybody. That's in the Neil Tamba version of the Bible. Let's go back to the real version. It says that Jesus gave them to the disciples to set before the people. He gave them to the disciples to set before the people, that his intention is this: he gladly and generously extends his power to his followers who care for a world of too much, and that Jesus never intended. You know, when people say, why isn't everybody healed today? I'm just gonna say, because Jesus didn't heal everybody when he was on the earth. But you know what he is doing? He's caring for people through his disciples, right? And let me just say this. This is just a little church business right now, okay, on this. Disciples, plural. Care is not done by one. Please hear this today, church. Care is not done by one. I put it on a slide so we wouldn't miss it. It's not one of the points, but you probably need to write this on your notes somewhere today. Who came and did our reading today? How many know who did our reading? What's his name? A lot of you know Dave Rogers. You know why you know him? Because he's the care minister. Because he's the guy you want when you're sick or your friend died or your spouse died. You're the guy you want when there's a wedding. And I want to tell you, care is not done by one. And Dave is not Dash and he's not Jesus. And God never intended for Dave Rogers to care for everybody in this church. And God never intended for a small group of staff to care for everybody in this church. The care is not done by one. Look around you. Raise your hands again, care people. Raise your hands high. These and many others are the living bodily expression of Jesus on the earth, who Jesus loves and generously, gladly extends his care to. And you know what, church? You know what I realized? That in all of this, I needed to ask your forgiveness. And I'll probably need to ask it again. I don't take this lightly. Because it's really hard for me at times to figure out how to continually communicate. How do we operate here in this almost big city, right? And I want to tell you, I am sorry and I ask your forgiveness for not communicating often enough and clearly enough that, you know what, Neil Tomba isn't the person. He's not the church, we are the church. And that Dave is not the person you always have to have. And he is not the church, we are the church. Would you forgive me? Thanks, Kay. And you're probably gonna have to forgive me again. But you're going to be sorely disappointed. And it's ultimately not going to be about me or Dave or a staff member. It's going to be about Jesus. I'm telling you, there are times when you can't get a hold of Rogers because you didn't know it, but he was over caring for somebody else. Okay? Care requires the power of Jesus. And so, I got to say one more thing because I love this. It says in verse 43, and they, first, let's go to 42. They all ate and were what? Satisfied. Y'all remember? I mean, this sounds like when Moses was in the wilderness feeding the people, right? Manna came from heaven and they had just enough for each day. They could not take more. It would rot. This is the greater Moses here, right? They all ate and were satisfied, and then they took up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces and fish. How many disciples? 12 disciples. Can you see them? Can you see them coming back to Jesus? I don't know where they got these baskets from. I don't know how big the baskets were, but I like to exaggerate, so I'm thinking they're really big. So they're carrying up each disciple. They're having their little march back to Jesus. They're looking at each other. They're looking at their baskets, and I'm thinking they're more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes in each of those baskets extra. And that's why I tell you, Jesus generously and gladly extends his power to those who follow him as they care for a world of too much. Amen. Don't forget this. They're all carrying a basket. Now, Jesus is going to give them a little test. And it's clear this is with the passage because of how Mark writes it. It says in verse 48:6, immediately he made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side. He made the disciples get into the boat. And in verse 48, he saw that they were making headway painfully. They were suffering at the oars. Okay, you've got Jesus doing this wilderness deliverance. Now, again, it sounds like something from the Old Testament. The sea is a dangerous place. They're making their way. They're suffering at the oars. The Sea of Galilee is a place where people died as winds would come down that valley. And it says, about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he meant to pass by them, okay? He meant to pass by them. Now, I want to say something about this. He meant to pass by them. Normally, when we read that, here's what we think. Jesus was just going to kind of ignore them. Jesus was just going to look at them and roll his eyes and think, you guys are idiots, or something like that. And I want to say maybe it was something different. He meant to pass by them is a little phrase that's connected to a story in your Old Testament. Again, it's Moses when he's leading the people out of Israel. And there's the story, they worship at the golden calf, and then the people say, they're doing their thing, and God basically says to Moses, Moses, I'm done with these people. I'm gonna make sure you get to the promised land, but I'm not coming. And Moses, he knows they are too much for him, okay? He knows their needs are too much for him, and he says this, if you're not coming with us, stop the buses. I don't want to go. Because I think somehow Moses knows that he needs the power and the glory and the provision of God along this way. And so God says, okay, I'm coming. And then I wonder, it's very interesting what happens next. And I wonder if there was this stirring in the heart of Moses as he thinks about all the needs of those people, as he thinks about the glory and the presence and the power of God, and finally he just says out to God, okay, God, I need more of you. God, let me see your glory. I want your presence. And what does God say to Moses? No one can see my face and live, right? And then what does God say? He says, okay, Moses, you're gonna get in cleft a rock, and I'm gonna pass by you. That's the phrase. Moses, I'm gonna give you an assurance of my presence with you, an assurance of my power with you, an assurance of my provision with you. Jesus, he, after feeding the 5,000 and the disciples are suffering at the oar, Jesus meant to pass by them to give them an assurance of his power with them, an assurance of his presence with them, an assurance of his provision among them, so that they could know and be tested, do they really believe that Jesus generously and gladly extends his power to his followers who care for a world of too much. So here's what I want to say to our caregivers this morning in light of that. What do you do? Obviously, we have to make a step to moving to caring for people. And you know, sometimes for a lot of us caregivers, It's almost a knee-jerk reaction. It's something, sometimes we just jump right into it. And I wanna ask you, caregivers, I wanna ask you to do something before you make the phone call, which I'm so glad you're making. And I'm gonna ask you to do something before you knock on the door, before you go into the hospital room, before you speak a word, that you would pray this: Holy Spirit, give me power. Holy Spirit, give me power. Why do I say that? The Holy Spirit, we know that is the presence of Jesus among us, okay? When Jesus meant to pass by, he was saying, do you get it that you have my presence and power? You know, it's the end of the story says, actually, they didn't get it. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were what? Terrified. Immediately he spoke to them, said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. He got into the boat, the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. They did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. They freaked out, and they didn't remember what? They were carrying the basket. And I'm asking us to remember we're carrying the presence of Jesus and the person of the Spirit. It's why we say where God has us is where Jesus is. It's why I'm asking you to pray this: Holy Spirit, give us power. And before I close here, I do want to say that sometimes, you know what that power looks like? Because somebody's going to ask this, and it's a good question, and I had to wrestle deeply about this. That power is often counterintuitive. It often doesn't simply look like winning arguments because you were the smartest person in the room or the loudest. Sometimes that power looks like this. When nobody else sees and you're visiting your friends who have had a miscarriage, and the power looks like this, the ability to say, Holy Spirit, give me power to keep my mouth shut and to not have to fix them right now and to be able to grieve with them and sit with them. And sometimes it looks like this, Holy Spirit, give me power in the brokenness of losing my own husband, that I might care and invest and guide and direct another lady who has lost her husband. A couple weeks ago, we had a memorial service here for a police officer who served our campus. I wasn't here. Do you know why? Because I had another one that day at wrestling. Poor lady was so overwhelmed. She had 19 memorial services that day. And sometimes the power of the Holy Spirit looks like this, and I just want to affirm some ladies here and some men. It looks like me saying I can deny myself today and take my Saturday to be at the church and gladly serve and do it in a way where I'm not looking around saying, where's the pastor? Where's the staff? Why aren't they doing it? Because like I said before, you might not even know that they might be somewhere else. I'm trying to just think through a minute here. Do I have anything else to say? I want to invite those of you, raise your hands, and that we've called. I want to invite you to come on up right now because we want to pray for you today. So come on up here. Don't be shy. You're just going to stand on the steps. As these folks are coming, I want to tell you, as I look, what I see some people that I don't even know their names. I also see walking up here limited human beings. I see some people who have some degrees in counseling, and I see some people who do not. I see some people who, frankly, some of the stuff in their own lives feels like too much. And I want to invite everybody here to stand as we get ready to pray for these folks. Because, hey, would y'all look at me just a second? Because I want to look at your eyes and say this. Your care displays the power of Jesus. Your care displays the power of Jesus. And I want you to believe in a world that feels like too much. It's too much than ever before, that church, what the unique thing we have to bring may not be your degree or another book. It may be this, that your care requires the power of Jesus. So we're going to reach out our hands, church, and we're just going to pray very simply right now for these folks. Holy Spirit, give these followers who are caring and those that are not up there in the pew right now, we pray that you would give them power. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Can we thank Jesus for caring for us in really, in tangible, touchable human flesh? Thank you all for taking time to be here this morning. If some of you, I'm going to make a special request, if some of you could come back for second hour so they also can see. You could just come at the end of this service. So thank you very much. You're dismissed.